And this morning, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. We have two of our favorite people from Piedmont Medical Center. We have Chelsea Sutton, who is the program manager, trauma program manager. Sorry, let me put the trauma in front of that. And then, of course, Dr. Carrie Washington, who is the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center. Mm-hmm. So welcome.
Thank you.
And the reason why we like to have you guys in May is because May is National Trauma Month and then Stop the Bleed Month.
Yes.
So Dr. Washington, we'll start with you and tell us what the difference is between a trauma unit and the ER or
Absolutely.
The ED.
So this really started from our military background. We started realizing that when it comes to life after having a traumatic injury, we know that really time makes the difference. So this was an initiative about 30 years ago. And so we have up to 5 levels in this country of trauma centers. Right now, Piedmont is considered a level 3 ACS verified, which is the American College of Surgery verified trauma center. So that means there's an entire process that goes into place where you have an entire book of things that you have to achieve. So when we talk about being a trauma center, it's a big deal. And when we talk about levels 1 through 5, 5 means, and 4 and 5 are really those rural areas where you have some doctors who've been trained to do some basic kind of trauma life support. But as a level 3, and we are actively pursuing level 2 status, that means that we have on-site neurosurgeons who can do any emergency interventions for brain bleeds, spinal cord injuries. We have orthopedic surgeons who are doing these open fractures, significant hip fractures. We have cardiothoracic surgeons available. So unfortunately, sometimes we get injuries to the heart or chest wall that require open heart surgery, even in trauma. And then, of course, you have your trauma surgeons who are all dual certified. So any trauma surgeon at Piedmont Medical Center who's taking care of you has a history of doing general surgery as well as surgical critical care, which means we all did 2 different types of certification to take care of a trauma patient. And that's really the difference that you're getting. The emergency department is great. You have your emergency physicians as well as staff that take care of you. So they will start the process of stabilizing a patient if we need to put a breathing tube in. But then really what you're getting with that trauma center is the surgeons who are there who can make things happen quickly.
So does Piedmont Medical have the trauma center at both their Rock Hill and their Fort Mill location? What does that look like?
So again, that's a great question. In order to become a designated trauma center, you have to meet all of these criteria. So currently Rock Hill is a designated trauma center. Fort Mill is not. It is a year's process to actually apply for these. People come out, you have to get the certification. So Fort Mill and Gold Hill will triage a patient. So that means if you do fall, if you end up having a car wreck and you end up at Gold Hill or Fort Mill, the ED doctors that are there have all had advanced trauma life support training because anyone in our hospital system is required to do so. They can stabilize you, they can treat your initial injury, and then they will get you to us or elsewhere if you need to, if we don't have, you know, the means to take care of that patient.
We have a lot of growth in our area. York County is growing fast. We just mentioned Fort Mill. Because of that growth, what kind of trauma injuries or emergency room injuries do we typically see?
So we have a combination of what we call blunt injuries and penetrating. Blunt would be the most common. When we talk about a blunt traumatic injury, that's things like car wrecks, motorcycles, people who fall from heights. So that can be when you're working on your roof, ladders. We have such beautiful weather around here. Mm-hmm. And in the springtime, people are out cutting down trees, cutting down limbs, cleaning out their gutters. So we're seeing those falls. Fall from standing, that's probably the most common trauma. And people don't think about that being a trauma. But if you fall and hit your head, we get a lot of major head injuries from that that sometimes require surgery. We also have people who unfortunately injure their spinal cord just from a fall from standing. But with the growth that we're seeing, we have a very pedestrian area. People love being outside. We have a lot of great parks, people walking from place to place. So unfortunately, at nighttime, you know, really being aware of where you are, wearing bright colors, anything that's reflective. If you're out walking in the morning, we unfortunately do see a lot of pedestrian or bicyclists struck by vehicles. And then, of course, penetrating injuries would be like your gunshot wounds and stabs. And I know people don't like to hear that, but it happens even in small communities. And sometimes they're accidental. So that's why it's so important that we have immediate availability to take care of these patients.
And we do see these kind of injuries every day.
Yes.
I mean, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a normal occurrence.
Yeah. We took care of the patients who came through, if you remember, from the smoke shop shooting that has happened. And we've had a few of those that have come through and it's real in our community.
And with summer approaching, what would you tell people or parents especially maybe about injuries that may happen with school getting out at summertime? what do you want to say to the population about that?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, when you're driving around, be very conscientious of lots of kids being out on the streets, families being out. We see golf carts, people are riding around their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Drive the speed limit, take extra time and pay attention. Again, if you are one of those active people who loves to run and walk in the morning or at night, wear the appropriate lights, reflective clothing, be aware of that. There's a lot of traffic out right now and the weather's gorgeous for motorcycles. Wear your helmets, mm-hmm. wear your gear. We don't call them donor cycles for nothing. I mean, truly, in trauma land, motorcycle injuries can be the most deadly. So please, please, please wear those helmets and plan ahead for your trips. You know, make sure that if you're going long distances, you have water, you have things that are you're available for snacks, things like that, just in case you get out and you end up being stuck somewhere for a while.
Now we're going to shift over to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea Sutton is the Trauma Program Manager yes. over at Piedmont Medical. And this is Stop the Bleed Month.
Yes,
so,
it is.
And you've brought a prop.
I have.
So you can either hold it up or I can hold it up, either
show
way.
You. So this is my training prop, but the real the real thing that actually stops the bleed is this right here. This is our tourniquet.
Okay.
And so I'll tell you a little bit about Stop the Bleed first.
Right.
But I was going to show you. So Stop the Bleed is an initiative for injury prevention that started about 10 years ago. It was in response to several of the very tragic school shootings that happened in that time. And the whole design of the program is to teach bystanders how to recognize life-threatening bleeding and how to stop it. Unfortunately, in so many of those types of scenarios, someone can bleed to death before first responders can even get there to do anything to stop it. So we want everyone to know how to recognize it and how to do something to stop it to save their neighbor's life, their family member's life, their own life if they need to. So really the training focuses on wound direct pressure to help stop bleeding, packing a wound, and then a tourniquet if necessary. And when I tell you it is so simple that a monkey could do it, I'm not kidding. I have taught my daughter how to do it. She actually came with me and helped me teach a class several years ago. It's super easy. So
do you think that part of it is that people are scared to do it, like that they're going to maybe hurt someone worse?
I do.
I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's probably a fear that I have.
Yes.
How simple is it really to do?
So I'll show you. So this is, it's supposed to be an extremity of some sort.
A leg.
With some wounds, a leg, with some various wounds here. So direct pressure really is as easy as getting the hardest part of your hand on top of a wound and holding it and not letting up.
Okay.
It potentially could hurt the patient, but if you're stopping the bleeding, hurting, I mean, cause pain.
Pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not have a bad outcome.
Okay.
And if you are just holding direct pressure as hard as you can and not letting up, someone is obviously calling 911. We've already initiated that whole process, so you're not going to be stuck forever. So direct pressure is the first part. The second part is wound packing. So this is all medical grade stuff that I'm showing you here, but I'm going to talk to you about things that you can do with what you find.
Okay.
So this is gauze, and how you do wound packing is you take...
So could you use like a sock?
You could use a sock.
A shirt.
You could use a towel.
Okay.
You could use
don't worry about something being dirty when this is going on. We can treat it with antibiotics later. This is about saving a life, so don't be worried
about
that.
So you take the end of it and you're sticking it down into the wound and just packing, just digging it in there until you can get it to stop.
Yeah, we're both like, we love our jobs. When I think my job is hard sometimes.
I get it. I get it.
So at some point you realize you've got enough.
How do you know? Yes.
Until it won't go down anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until you're just reaching some resistance.
And most of the time I feel like your adrenaline is going to be pumping a little bit. So you're going to kind of know.
Yes.
Okay.
And then once you meet that resistance and you don't need to push down any further, you just continue holding that direct pressure on top of it. And that helps stop any bleeding that's underneath that, the top layer of tissue. The last way to stop bleeding is using a tourniquet. This is only applicable if the wound that's bleeding is on an arm or a leg. That's the only place that we can apply a tourniquet.
An arm or a leg.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little counterproductive to put this around someone's neck.
Okay.
I say that to all of the classes I teach. It's kind of funny, but just make sure people know. So this is a medical grade tourniquet. So I'll show you how these work. But again, you can use a belt. You can use a necktie. You can tear off this long sleeve of a t-shirt and use that as well. So what you need to do is you find the wound. You want to apply the tourniquet and get it as tight as you can at first, at least 2 inches or so above the wound. And then these are our medical grades again, so we pull this as tight as we can. And then this part right here is what really gets it tighter. Mm-hmm. So we twist this, and we keep twisting and twisting and twisting, and it's continuing to tighten as we're doing this. And we go until we meet enough resistance, and then we have this little device where we can lock it in place. And then we can write what time we put it on, because that helps the first responders know this is what time we put it on. This mm-hmm. is how long I have, essentially, to for us to restore blood flow okay. to this limb.
But if you don't have a tourniquet, then you just do the packing and the hold.
Yes.
Is that
correct? Or, okay. and again, mm-hmm. using a t-shirt.
I mean, because you can't, like, can you make a tourniquet?
Anything you can, that you can wrap around.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So okay. it's obviously not going to have the lock-in-place thing, right. but okay. if you can get a knot and a necktie or mm-hmm. or use the belt as tight as you can, mm-hmm. anything okay. that you can just secure. If it's on an arm or a leg, just if you can find something like that, it will do the same thing until first responders can get there, and they will have a tourniquet.
And I know I did want to mention, Dr. Watson, you did mention that when the school bus accident happened out on 77 a couple of weeks ago, y'all did see some of these patients. Were some of these things done on the scene before they actually came to Piedmont Medical Center?
So we were lucky enough that we had mostly minor injuries that came through, but for any of the kids that were out there on the bus, there were some that were flown out to both Columbia and Charlotte. And then we had about 28 people who came through our emergency department for getting checks. But this is exactly what we're talking about. We know that where they were located out on the highway, that's a difficult place to get to. So if you're thinking about it as a parent or anyone else, for your kid to be able to do this, whether or not they can walk someone through doing it on themselves in a situation, or if they can do it to a friend, can you imagine how amazing and empowering that can be for a 14-year-old to be able to help one of their friends in need? And that is as simple as what Chelsea just did, and they can do it.
Yep. And Chelsea, where can people get this Stop the Bleed training? What do people need to do if they're interested?
Absolutely. We would love to train as many people in our community as we can. Like I showed you, it is very simple. Anybody can do it. I would love for you to reach out to me and my team, and we are happy to come out. We have all of our training equipment. It's a brief PowerPoint presentation, very brief, about 20 minutes, where we go through just some signs to look for, and we go through the step-by-step, and then we have you practice with us. So you can reach out to me. I'll give you my email address. It's chelsea.sutton, chelsea.sutton, at tenethealth.com. And me and my team will be happy to schedule a training for your Boy Scout group, your church Sunday school class,
a school,
a company. We have so many different industrial areas in our community as well that would benefit from this. So we're happy to teach anyone.
Well, great. And we appreciate you both being with us today. Of course, Chelsea Sutton, who is the Trauma Program Manager, and Dr. Carrie Watson, the Trauma Medical Director, both at Piedmont Medical Center. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.